you know, do you think you'll get five students who just haven't been let in for being too drunk, as is, you know, the club's right to refuse? Is there a problem with that, do you think?
I mean, I completely agree. I mean, the fact that we can have these CCTV cameras and have the evidence of these assaults, these harassments, is very important, because with drunk students, some drunk students do exaggerate quite a bit in terms of stuff, but obviously if they do feel like they are being harassed, we do have to crack down on it. But personally, yes, CCTV and actual evidence is very important to suggest how we can actually go forward with remedying the situation. But yeah.
And Joshua?
Yeah, I think it's very important for the student union to build a better connections with the local council, the community, and the police, to work together to address the problems of the assaults and sexual harassment done by the bouncers. It's not something that a student union alone can be done, and certainly a lot of things can be explored into this field.
So we were discussing bouncers, and how students should behave on nights out, and possible ways to improve the relationship between our links with SU Nights, particularly Crisis. And I was wondering, kind of linking quite closely to that, is while we were discussing this previously, coming up with the question, one of the people working on the question with me said that we should also raise a question on improving student attitudes towards women, especially in clubs. And I thought, it perhaps is wrong of us just to draw the line at bouncers. There is also still a problem, despite, you know, we had Anne Harrod with the He For She campaign, which went down massively well. But what steps do you think you can take to improve attitudes towards women, and also get rid of this still arguably pertaining lad culture?
I think it's a really, really important, point. Anne Harrod worked really, really well with the Women's Network and the UOM Femmes to kind of carry on that campaign of the He For She. And it was something that I think the feminists brought in to the union's kind of perspective at the time, was the He For She campaign. And then obviously we had that really, really, I say quite famous speech from Rob Jennings that got a shout out from Emma Watson, which was good. So it was great to see that last year's cohort of officers were getting involved with that. In our Welcome Week program for the training for the Welcome Mentors this year, when Al and I were trained, we didn't really get a lot of stuff on welfare when we were actually mentors physically. But this year, we made sure that was really, really key to what we were doing, so that new first year students were treated by our mentors like really, really nicely and welcomingly. And it's called Bystander Intervention Training, and this is something that Claire Thompson, who's the University Welfare Officer, is really keen to kind of implement in all of the union training, and she's not forcing it upon us. That let's make that clear. The university isn't forcing something upon the union. It's something that we really are keen to work with to introduce into training sessions, so that to make sure that the kind of respect is measured and that it's heightened towards and attitudes towards women in clubs are made better. Because this kind of training, it's quite a complex system, and it involves a lot of different factors, but one of the things that it does highlight is the sexual assault factor of nights out, and just going up and slapping somebody on the bum or something like that is really just not okay. It's not acceptable, and it does highlight to people that we do need to be more respectful. Some teams in some other universities have been banned from participating in Bucks because on their socials they would have t-shirts with printed things on the back, such as casual rape, which is just completely unacceptable.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree yet again. I mean, personally, I'm quite a feminist as well. Like, I believe in equality between both men and women, and personally I'd work very closely.
Sorry, we're just that quite a feminist. I mean, do you think, is it not more of a position of you either are or you aren't?
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I am a feminist.
Yeah,
I completely, I am completely agreeing with the equality of both men and women. So personally, I would work very closely with the women officer, with the welfare officers, with all these different networks that we have currently, and continue on a lot of the different points that they've brought up, such as Anne Harrod's points, and just make sure that the attitudes to women do improve, not only in clubs, but everywhere on campus around Nottingham as well.
I think Cameron has made a lot of points into it. But I think what is more important to add on is that a lot of females or women, they actually have they need to have a higher awareness into where to find the help, where to report those sexual harassments, sexual assaults that are done on them, where to report those crimes to the police, to the council, and where to seek help in cases where they are actually fall under the victims of those assaults. It is very important to raise the awareness to the woman of where to seek help, and certainly a lot of work can be done with the councils, with the local communities, with the police, as to stop these crimes, but also to empower the woman to let them know that in cases where this happens, don't keep silent. Do report and do seek help. Don't keep silence to yourself. It's the most important issue to be addressed.
And on the subject of feminism and
I'm a feminist, definitely.
Bridget, don't worry.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
On the subject of feminism and women in the university generally, do you think it's troubling that there are no women running for SU president? You know, last year obviously there were female candidates, but a male candidate won, and then before that we had a female president. What kind of example do you think we're setting by the fact that there are no women running for SU president, or is it just kind of the way it's gone this year? And Alan, do you want to?
I mean, personally, I feel like this came up in the question time on the Facebook Live. It came up, how many women are actually running for positions? Why is there anyone running for the president position? Personally, there is actually 10 out of the 14 members, I think it was, that are 10 out of the 14 positions that are actually women running. So yes, there might not be a woman running for president, but that's just how it went this year. I mean, the past few years, since my first year, there has always been women running. So this is the only year that it hasn't happened.
So you think it's just a random coincidence?
Yes, it's completely. I mean, I don't think women have decided, I'm not going to run for UN SU president. I mean, if you think about it, in the past year, well, Ishmael, the year before that, there was Anne Harrod, and I'm sure, and there, surely there has, sorry, there has been female candidates.
There was quite a gap between Anne Harrod and the last, I think maybe even 10 years or so. And I've just been informed there's only been two ever. I think I agree with you. There's not some kind of wide-ranging problem. But I was just wanting to get your thoughts in, Joshua.
First of all, I want to say that it's a woman run. Well, you can't just only look at whether a woman actually takes the office of president. You also look at how many women candidates are also running for it as well. So, for instance, last year, Ismail is a male. He gets into office. But you see other candidates, Mary, you get Jesse, you get other candidates who are also, you get Emma as well, who are also women running for the SU president. So in terms of candidacy, there has not been a year in which, there are very few years, only a few years in which there are absolutely no candidacy who are women running for the SU president.
But still, and second, two SU presidents ever as women isn't exactly a glowing report on our SU.
Well, I think the fact that there are women running for the SU president candidacy reflects that women actually has got an equal balance, and people do respect women's rights. Whether or not they actually are able to seize the votes and become the president is a matter of democratic choice, and you can't blame people for their democratic decisions. Certainly women can vote in those elections as well, and also in terms of the university total male and female students ratio, there are 52% of the women as opposed to 48% of the men. So certainly women can exercise their democratic rights. It's fully in their power. You have to respect the democratic choice of the people. And I personally study economics.
Sorry, Joshua, rush because Cameron hasn't had to say.
Yeah, I think Joshua got to it at the end there. The democratic way that it fell last year was to a male. There's no way about that. This year, I think maybe there are a few factors in it, in that you could say possibly that last year's campaigning was maybe seen as you know, relatively, I wouldn't say aggressive. Aggressive is the wrong word, but it's a little
bit more intense.
Yeah. And maybe that would have put off people, but I'm not saying that's put off females. It's probably put off a lot of males as well. And I think that the question is a little loaded, perhaps, to the president role, because we've got a large cohort of candidates this year, and the majority, I think, as Alan pointed out, was whom are female. It is just this year, I think, coincidence that it's the president that doesn't have any. I was certainly shocked, and I think Alan definitely was. I'm sure Joshua was that there were no women. I genuinely was like, that's really interesting that there were initially eight candidates. I think Sam, Emmett, I don't think that was a nomination in the end. And discounting City and Sweep, obviously, as
puppets,
fictional, non-fictional, it's up to you.
five candidates
whom are male, and maybe we need to look at the wider picture of women in leadership and continue with the sort of maybe a campaign on that. And I think the SU offices at the moment are looking into a really interesting topic, which is David Greenway's resignation from the vice chancellor position, which is to be soon, towards the end of this academic year, and looking at they're obviously looking at the recruitment of a new vice chancellor at the moment, the university is. I didn't put my application forward to that, you know. I didn't feel it was the right time for me personally.
You're to be busy next year anyway.
Exactly, so, yeah. I'm hoping to be. that was a poor joke, but never mind. They're looking at the number of women candidates and female candidates for that role, because I feel like potentially that could be a good kind of like target to be set, and a good role model. I can't find the phrase.
Good catalyst for
that's it.
Hopefully, maybe become a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think it is also a big shock to absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
Not only that there's no women running, but the amount of candidates, especially for sports and activities, considering that last year it was very intense. So, yes, there are no women running for president, but there's not that many people running for the other positions as well. And that's...
maybe the fault was democratic engagement as a whole,
exactly.
Really, rather than. But yeah, we've had. Lots of discussion on wide-ranging questions, so I'm going to move on to the specific manifestos now. We're going to start with Alan, and it's going to be on a kind of point-by-point basis, and one of your first points is about drastic improvements to Refreshers Fair. What kind of improvements do you picture, and you know, how will they be drastic?
So personally, I feel that after talking to a lot of societies and bringing up to even course-based societies or the activity societies, the sports societies, sports clubs, sorry, they've all alluded to me that Refreshers Fair was not very good, and a lot of even the SU people do understand that that was a big thing this year. I mean, the main thing with why it wasn't received well to students was publicity and advertising of it. During the time of actual Refreshers Fair, there was the SU rebranding. So due to the SU rebranding being in time with the Refreshers Fair, that actually caused a lot of issues in terms of advertising and publicly showing students that this is actually happening. So what I'm saying in drastic improvements is because of how badly it was received when it was made this year, I put drastic because it can only improve so much. It can only improve by a lot because of how badly it was received.
And what, in your opinion, was the kind of key points that made it such a failure?
It was because of advertising. Not many students knew about it. It was straight after January exams. No one knew about it at all. There was very little footfall. I was talking to Dance Society. There was only like five people that walked past them, and a lot of them were semester abroad students, and that was the main thing. I mean, they knew about it, but there were so many first years that didn't have any idea. And not only did it have less footfall for the actual students, for the people who have actually made the their stall for the Refreshers Fair, they felt like they put so much work into making sure that they could engage the students. They got annoyed because they put so much work but didn't get the feedback that they wanted it from it, or like the engagement from students. And I think the main thing is the advertising and the publicity of the event.
Do you think though that there is a problem in the whole concept of Refreshers Fair, especially when you're trying to attract freshers to find a new society, is that there's already a little bit of burnout really by then? You know, you did Refreshers Fair, you found out in your mind what societies you want to do, and obviously when you're a second or a third, you can say, oh, of course I wasn't aware of all the things going on. But for a fresher, it's quite hard to think, yeah, I'm going to go back for another fair.
I mean, completely fair enough. I mean, there is the Welcome Fair, and that's where a lot lot of everything just comes up to you in one go. I mean, Refreshers Fair, I feel it's so important to improve it because there's so much, yes, decrease in the amount of society members or members trying out different things, that Refreshers Fair is so key because it allows for students to try different things. And yes, it's all about advertising publicly and publicity, but it's also making sure that students actually engage with it and actually maybe try and find something completely different. Like my housemates, they went to Refreshers Fair and actually went, oh, why don't we just try lacrosse? And they absolutely love it now. I mean, they went to Welcome Fair, but I'm talking about Refreshers Fair when it's public, it's advertised well. They might see it and be like, oh, wow, I could try something different. And that's the main thing. Yeah.
Of course, we've been referring to Refreshers Fair, but I think the actual term is what's it? It's Kickstart?
Kickstart.
And do you think that's a problem there, that we're moving away from terms that people already identified?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a major problem. I mean,
It's not Freshers Week anymore, it's Welcome Week.
Welcome Week, yeah. I mean, the major thing with this Kickstart is, yes, it is.
As just as a point of information there, actually, Harry, I think that the week can still be called Freshers Week. It's just that's a generic term. Our union term for it is Welcome Week, and it's away from the rebranding that was Week One. So just as a point of information, Freshers Week is just a generic countrywide term that we still use here, and the university and the union is happy to use that phrase, and the students are, to identify it. It's just that the UONSU Welcome Week is the branding of our own Freshers Week, moving away from the old Week One. So just as a point of information, clarification. So
what was the question?
Sorry about that.
Don't worry. Yeah. We're talking about Kickstart, but we'll move on.
Okay.
You know, obviously one of the big themes of your campaign has been this idea of student superheroes. And I was wondering what, in your opinion, defines a superhero student or a standout student, because it's something that you want to celebrate.
Of course, in my manifesto, it's recognised as my buzzword, and it says acknowledging student superheroes. Obviously, it doesn't show much. It's just, well, okay. But personally, the superheroes branding was used because that is my theme. The Avengers theme, superheroes, but the actuality of it is that a lot of students do a lot of stuff for the uni or for other people in terms of charity, sports, welfare, societies. They do all these things, but they aren't necessarily acknowledged or recognized by the students' union. And I feel like that's so important to hopefully engage with the students from the SU to make them feel like they're part of the SU. Personally, with my acknowledging student superheroes, it's a monthly, bi-monthly way of acknowledging students for being nominated for doing something special.
Sorry, Joshua.
Could you address specifically who are the person who are, like, at the moment less recognized, and what are the specific ways you are going to give higher recognition to those particular students?
I mean, personally, with this acknowledging student superheroes, it's themselves nominating or someone else nominates them for a recognition type of thing. So it could only be, if I do get elected, I'd have to talk about it to a lot of the SU people and see if it is actually feasible. But
we do have stuff like a SU lifetime membership and things like that. Do you feel that doesn't go far enough?
I mean, for me personally, when I've talked to a lot of students, they feel like the yearly acknowledgement of themselves is not enough. I feel like throughout the year, people should be recognized for what they've done. And
I want to ask the other questions. We do have the staff Oscars, but the staff Oscars has very low turnout rates. We do have a lot of university prizes. So, for instance, vice chancellor prizes to recognize the students. So, are these things not enough? And how would your schemes of students' nominations?
So, if you let me carry on instead of biting me in, personally, the way I would do it is giving a certificate. Yes, it seems really like primary school based, getting a certificate for being recognized by the SU, but for a lot of students I've talked to, they actually think that's such a big thing. Being recognized by the SU throughout the year will actually maybe help them advance and improve on what they've already done. So let's say someone nominates themselves for, let's say they raised £500 for this new charity or something like that, we'd recognize them. And I don't know how many people yet would be recognized throughout the bi-monthly or monthly certificate, but it's just such a little thing that can help so many students understand that, because this point is in my SU for you. It's just making students feel like the SU is part of them, and make sure that students do feel like they are part of the SU.
We've had a text from David who says that Ismail has already implemented a 50, I think it's like a 50 like special membership scheme or something like that. Is, again, do you feel that the awards are still necessary?
I think it is necessary. I mean, I've talked to Ismail quite a bit actually, and he's talked about all the Hall of Fame and expanding the Hall of Fame in his time in the celebration. He's talked about the Nottingham's Inspirational Students magazine. That's a yearly project that he's only just started doing. I mean, this thing will feed, the acknowledging and recognising will feed onto this Nottingham Inspirational Students magazine. And I feel like they do help each other out in terms of understanding and recognising those students. I might not call it superheroes, but it's just recognising those students is just so important. And I think, yeah.
And finally, Alan, am I a superhero student?
Oh, you can be.
Right, we're going to go over to Cameron now. And I was wondering if you could expand on the Student Advice Centre workshops and how you'll go about publicising them.
Yeah, so as part of the new Portland redevelopment, I think that's going to sort of do a little bit of the work for me, actually, because the Student Advice Centre is now moving up, and it should be, I think, opposite the new media hub, which is going to be your amalgamated area with the other three student-run media services. And I think that's really going to help publicise where the advice centre is a little bit more, because I currently feel that it's in a little bit of a like basement area. I don't want to say that. It's not in a cave. It's just not a great area for visibility. It's in a corridor, and there's not really any big signs to say that that's where it is. So I think that the actual Portland redevelopment will do a bit of work for me there. I think that these workshops on key issues like housing and sexual health awareness are really key, because they're going to help students fully understand. In my first year, I definitely just remember such a vivid experience of being so nervous about signing a contract to sign up to a house, because you've got to drop a load of money that you're going to be liable for if you default on a payment. It was all of this information coming at me with deadlines, and it was really, really stressful, and they really, really helped me out. And I was like, can you tell me if this landlord is very good or not? And they were like, no, because that's obviously, you know, that like libel and defamatory. But it was stuff like that was really, really useful. And I think having these in these new open spaces, like where the offices are going to be, which is a new open space in the Portland redevelopment, I think about phase three that it's going to happen, the end of phase two, where the offices are going to move into where Blackwell's is now. And that's all going to be completely renovated into a nice open area space. You can see your offices. It's going to have some little working booths like in the studio. And the SAC, the Student Advice Centre, can kind of set themselves up there, and they're like open workshops, a little bit like the Healthy U kind of stalls that are available in the atrium area in Healthy U Week that the university put on for people to sign up for things like C cards, get the Healthy U
mentioned that, like this phased development, and we've seen throughout this year this kind of phased introduction. You know, this space outside Mitch wasn't ready in time for the university academic year. We've had the David Ross Sports Village being phase, you know, obviously this isn't, you know, not going to go at you for this, but I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on this idea of phased development? Why does it always have to be phased? Why can't I see the immediate benefits of, you know, stuff like the Student Services Centre? They didn't have a whole network ready, apparently, and which is why we had such problems with module allocation. It's just kind of, you expect a little better for the money you're paying.
Yeah, and you definitely do, and you're definitely going to be expecting a lot better from any increases. I think next year you're going to see maybe like a £250, £300 increase. Don't quote me on that, you know, you can, but it's, people are going to want markedly better results from their university, and this is where the balance between the university and the union really comes into play, and the relationship that we have there, something that I think I want to maintain, and I'm sure the other presidential candidates will want to maintain, is a great working relationship between the university and the union. And that's a great communicative relationship on things like the Portland redevelopment and how that's going to happen. But then it's up to the union to transmute that and transmit that to its students. Things like what Alan wants to do with the transmitting of information on his website page to students, and transparency like that, is I just want to increase that obviously as well. And it's, I think it has to be phased. If we think about it practically, the building, if we just shut it down, is going to kill off the students' union. I think it just would. And I don't think you can move to another space.
Yeah, so with the phasing, I completely understand why it needs to be done. Practicality, like Cam said. But it's also the fact that with the phasing, just students need to know about it. Like Cam said with my manifesto with transparency, it's the development page on the SU website. That's what I want to drill into people that they can actually understand what's happening. With the Portland TV, we didn't really understand that was happening until it actually happened, and I was a bit like, okay.
I'm surprised you didn't go for the chessboard.
Yeah, the chess set as well. Yeah.
And we need to be careful about the chessboard, because I don't know whether that was that union resources
see, that's
allocated.
That's what I was actually wanting to.
This is something else. Yeah.
Is on this developments page, in which I presume will be on the SU website.
Yep.
You know, would you be able to include university projects or just SU? Because obviously, something you know, like the chessboard, I think I don't fully know myself. Is a university investment.
Yeah.
Whereas I imagine what you'll have remit to is only publicize union investments.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, that's what I'll understand later throughout the time if I do get elected about what I can actually publicize. I mean, personally, obviously, there are things that I won't be able to publicize publicly to all students, but there are things that we can, just understanding. I mean, the chessboard, yes, we might not have been able to because maybe it's university, but it's just showing people like, yeah, we're going to be making this, and just explaining exactly what it is. Like, there's the development of the Portland TV, just like saying, oh yeah, there's going to be a Portland TV here. That would just be more like we'd actually understand what's happening. That's the main thing, and hopefully by if next year I get elected, is to understand exactly what I can put on this page, which I'm hoping to be trying to encompass everything.
And how well would this page be publicized? Because obviously students and the SU website are already having trouble. Yeah. And another thought that I'd actually like to get everyone's opinion on is the idea of an SU app, because it's something I talked about with Anne Harrod 2 years ago, where it was still in development. And you know, should we focus on improving the website like you're suggesting, or you know, should this app be made?
The website is so key. I think personally, with the overgrowing advancements in technologies, I feel like the fact that we are revamping the website is so important. I mean, I just got a mind blank. But yes, no, 100%, I think it is technology that is the key.
So you wouldn't focus on the SU app?
Personally, I think it is very difficult to make an app, and it costs a lot of money to actually develop a well-working app for students. And don't get me wrong, there are students who don't have a smartphone that can actually use effectively use the app. I feel personally it's mostly about to do with the website. Yes, maybe in the future it could possibly work in 5-10 years, whatever, but personally right now it's the SU website that needs to get revamped for students.
I think currently on the website has a lot of rooms for improvements as well. Some more resources should be delegated into refreshing the websites. For instance, a lot of students have reflected to me that the way to vote is the way to see all the candidates' manifesto, the way to see all the roles of the education reps, the society committees, the way to actually go into the website to vote is not so visible from the general main SU website. So definitely there are more things to be done. Cassie has running for education officer has made the point that the education rep is not visible on the main bar on the website. You have got the sports, you have got the societies, but not for education. So certainly you should make the education network also displayed as in company for the sports and societies as well. A lot of things can be done on the website. In terms of the apps, I would say that there are a lot of existing apps on SU. For instance, the Hopper Bus timetable. You got the Expense 365. You have a lot of the timetabling ones as well, the Moodle ones. Although a lot of people have reflected that those apps, the Moodle app, is not so useful. But there are certainly a lot of resources that are already existing in terms of the mobile phone apps. So what the SU can do is to probably integrate all the existing resources together to let students to know that these are the existing apps that you can download. You can have different apps, but lead students into downloading all of them, or you can combine them into one integrated app. So this is one of the things on my manifesto that I'm saying, is have one integrated app for all SU information. This doesn't mean that the SU needs extra resources to expand on new applications, but for the existing ones, a lot of things can be done to let students to pull all the resources together.
All right, Cameron, and if I could get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's Cameron's time, actually. We should focus more on him.
No, I think I'd like to answer your question first, actually. Yeah. I think I'd like to respond to your answer. I think that that was one of the points on your manifesto which I actually quite disagreed with. And I think that the resources that you're going to divert into centralising all of these applications into one application is going to be phenomenal. If you're thinking about centralising the Moodle system into an SU app and an NCT buses into an SU app, university platforms onto the SU app. The SU doesn't have remit over the Moodle app because it's part of what the university provides for its students academic-wise. I don't think that you're going to be able to divert those resources, especially when we need to target what the main issues are, and that's the website and the online platform that represents the SU as soon as you search for it on Google. If that's not great, then what's the point in trying to create something new, something that's going to use a lot of resources? Because you're going to have to coordinate, you're going to have to ask those media teams from NCT, you're going to have to ask the media teams from Moodle to get everything centralized into one app, which is going to be a phenomenal amount of effort, when the online platform that represents the SU isn't up to scratch and what students want to see.
I would like to clarify on this point. First of all, on my manifesto, there are lots of words that, due to the word limit, I have to cut it out. So it actually means working towards one integrated app. But what it actually means, the more practical step before we put in a lot of resources, is to have a link or some sort of guidance, some sort of instructions that leads students into downloading all the existing apps. So a lot of students are not they are aware of the Hopperbust app, but they might not be aware of the Expense 365. They might not be aware of the Moodle on all the other applications.
You're suggesting just one place where you can access all those apps, not an app that would get all of them together.
Well, I'm saying if you have the money, if you have the resources, obviously what you want to achieve is one integrated app. But the middle ground, before the more practical step, before you can actually put in a lot of resources, is that you have one station, one system that points to students into downloading the apps that they might find useful for, and this is not existing and in the current platform, because a lot of students, they might be aware of the Hopperbust, but unless they become unless they heard from the other students, they are not aware of the Moodle, of the other applications as well.
Alan, have to be quick.
I do agree with the middle ground. I think the middle ground is doable because it just shows exactly what apps are available for us students. But yes, making an actual app that integrates all these different apps is extremely expensive. I mean, making it as an app developer, not me personally, but knowing apps and the amount of money it takes to make any type of app, it costs a lot of money.
You're listening to The Pulse, URN's award-winning news show, where it's all about the news that matters to you.
We're back with URN Question Time, and we do just have a final question for Cameron before we move on to Joshua. And it's about what you have in mind when you talk about a larger SU presence on campus, and also how much money do you think this will involve, and possibly, one of the problems we have with campaigning is that students say, oh, it's too in my face. Do you think there's going to be a problem with being too in your face about the SU?
I don't think that the SU personally is too in your face. I think that that's a little bit unfair, because I think that the SU works really, really hard as it is to make sure that it's out there for students, and I think that it works really, really hard to support students and to facilitate all this engagement for students and the activities that they can get involved with. So I think it's a little bit unfair to say that the SU is in your face. The Guild definitely isn't in the face of the Sutton Bonington students. In fact, it represents them really well to the SU, and it represents the views of the Sutton Bonington students really well, and it represents the facilitation of their sports and societies, which they really love to get involved in. Jubilee is slightly different. We have to treat that slightly different. We have an SU presence there in the form of a shop, which is now a spa cross shop, like the one we have here. Difficulty with that is that it has old SU branding. The old SU branding isn't very visible, and the spa logo is quite visible. Now, that's not a negative comment against the commercialization kind of thing of the actual shop itself. But what I'd like to see is a negotiation and an investigation into whether we can utilize the space on Jubilee more to say that actually this is definitely part of the University of Nottingham and that the students are represented here, rather than it being, oh, just stay in Newark and Southwell Hall and you've got the atrium and the exchange and you just have the business management students there and the School of Economics, and it feels slightly detached, and the students' voices over at those campuses aren't represented through the students. I think that as part of this, we can think about the kind of engagement of the students over there. And it links to one of my other manifesto points, which we talked about earlier about the Student Advice Centre workshop, is that there's no reason why we couldn't place some of those workshops on Jubilee campus in SU-dedicated space. It's about finding whether we actually do have more SU-dedicated space and whether there's the ability to kind of maybe lease space from the university. Now, in response to your part of the question about funding, this is really difficult because, as I alluded to earlier, the university is possibly not going to give us any more funding next year. When this cohort of student leaders are elected, they're going into the fifth year of a five-year plan, and they're going to be able to negotiate the terms of the new five-year plan with the university that the union wants to achieve. And part of that is the funding. Talking to a lot of societies, it's like, would you like more money, is the question, and they obviously go, yes, we would. So that's something that we have to represent, and that's something that we have to have the discussion with the university about. And it's going to be difficult, the negotiation is going to be hard, but it's something I feel that we could potentially achieve, and I think it's something that the university needs to recognise, especially if they're hiking up their fees, and potentially by 2020 it reaching around £11,000, £12,000, as has been speculated in the news, that we make sure that we work towards representing the voice of the students and representing the union to the students, because we don't want a union that's being kind of sidelined by the university, because we have a weird special relationship where we do need their funding. We do have a lot of own funding now with this great spa shop, whereby all the profits come back into us, but it isn't enough to say, actually, we can give URN more money on a regular basis. NSTV, who need more new cameras in a certain number of years' time, they're going to need more money, you know, stuff like that. And I think that it's a difficult situation, but it's one that we can look into. I think in answer to the question, we need to review the use of space and make sure that the use of space is more effective than it is currently to represent the students' union.
If you were in negotiations with the university, mm-hmm. and you had to choose between a manifesto promise like, you know, mm-hmm. or representing students in terms of, you know, perhaps funding for particular societies, which one do you think you place more priority on?
The representing the students. I say that quite confidently, and I say that with conviction, because the students, I've been elected partly based on my manifesto, but if I was elected, I would be elected partly because of my manifesto points. They are super important. They're objectives that we set at the beginning of the year. They're objectives that the scrutiny panel hold us to account for. But when it comes to the representation of the students to the university, I think it does take priority over my own manifesto points, over my own objective points, because what's the point of saying you're representing 30,000 students when you're not, and you're concentrating on your own endeavours? Be it they might benefit students, but more in the long term than what the students want there and then. And I think that I can say with conviction the latter half is the answer.
All right, well, thank you, Cameron. And Joshua, I'm afraid
we'll only
be able to manage a quick question, so I do want to ask a broad question to end with.
Okay.
But I was wondering if we could get some clarification on your idea for the hopper bus. I think it's to QMC.
Yes.
And because we were thinking, the university's current stance, and this is something we heard from Munisa, who is running for communities, she said it was to reduce hopper bus services. What do you think makes you think that the university will want to add a stop that is already arguably within walking distance?
The idea is that when students live in Jubilee Campus, St. Peter's Court in Raleigh Park, they take the hop bus of 903 every single day to go to school. Those students, if they want to go to the medic school, they will take a hop bus 903 to go to the University George Green Library and then walk to the medic school. Or the alternative way is they have to walk. They have to walk the 20 or 30 minutes into the medic school, which is quite a far distance. So a hopper bus line that extends a stop at the QMC entrance is addressing to those students. It would be the service that is targeting for the similar line as to the 903 bus line, but it runs to the medic school. It might not be achievable in my time. Certainly, it costs a lot of resources into it, but this is something that I can work on. The other issue that actually pops up into my concern, which is out of my manifesto, because my manifesto obviously is submitted sometime in February, but it happens that only on Monday that I'm aware of, is that starting from Monday, the Medic Link starts to charge students for taking the bus, and this is something that is quite shocking to me. It affects a lot of medical students, especially to a lot of medical students who are living elsewhere, far away from the campus, and they take the Medic Link every single day to go to the medic school to work or for placements or to study. We need a lot of negotiation process with the city councils as to make sure that medic students are benefiting from the Medic Link. They are not. They go to lectures every week, every day. Medic students are very, as far as I know, medic students are very dedicated to their lectures. They have the highest turnout rate. They have to go to lectures 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. every single day. So their welfare, their transportation, it's one of the key points in my manifesto.
All right, well, thank you, Joshua.
Thank you.
We're going to end with a broad question, which kind of stems from a text we had in. The reason why I was slightly delayed is because I think it's worded in perhaps a slightly leading way. It says, in regards to Carnival, what are your aims? Obviously, Carnival is a huge organisation which does a lot of good, but a lot of people do not see it. And so one of the points that Francis raised was he wants to bring back Carney's seven-legged event. And now he's not here to answer for how feasible he thinks that is or whether or not he'll be working with the SU's new idea that they're going to bring in. But I was wondering what, because obviously we do have to kind of reflect on the fact that Carney does seem to have a more diminished role now with the absence of, I think, rag rates are gone now, with the absence of seven legged as well. What kind of role do you see for Carnival in your if you were to be elected president?
Yeah, so Carnival are now in a good place. And I know that's a bit of maybe good is a contentious word with regards to the question, but when I say good, I mean like they can now innovate and create with something new. They have the opportunity to do that. They can innovate and create a new event to engage students on in a new platform. If it's a bar crawl that they want to implement, then they can implement a bar crawl. But maybe they can do something on campus, something that they can really, you know, roll over to the next year. I think it's a really good space. And if you go into the office after the announcement was made, obviously there was bad feeling, but there was scrawled all over a whiteboard was new event ideas, and it's just really important that the SU supports Carnival in doing that, and that's what I want to achieve, is to support Carney and make sure that the communication is excellent. Communication has been thrown around a lot and support has been thrown around a lot, but with regards to Carney, I feel that sometimes they do feel like they're alienated because they're not represented by the Students' Union enough. Also, I think we need to publicise the fact that Carnival do a lot of great work with regards to their contact hours and the volunteering and the money that they raise. Seven-legged will give a little bit of a hit to the overall budget potentially that they raise for charity, but we can definitely look towards other ways of doing that and other ways of supporting to raise
and
as much money.
Do you have any comments on France's idea?
It absolutely won't be reinstated as an event. That period, that's something that a senior member of the SLT has said to me. It just will not be able to be. The university doesn't want it to happen. The union subsequently doesn't want it to happen. It won't be able to be. It won't be able to happen. And that's my final comment.
Do you feel it's a misleading statement, or perhaps a lack of research by Francis?
I feel like it's a statement from passion. I think it's a passion that he really enjoyed the event. I can see that a lot of students really enjoyed the event. It might be misinformation. It might be lack of information that the SU just are not saying that it just will not come back, because obviously Andy Smith is now taking up the event. He's the promoter for Carpe Noctem for Crisis, and he's going to be running the event. I was a bit disillusioned with the whole situation when it was announced that he was going to be taking it up. I didn't really like that initially. I thought that, well, hold on, why isn't Carney being represented here? But after having discussions with the SLT, and
the SLT,
the senior leadership team of the union. Sorry, they're the members of staff that are paid, and they have all the they have you know the consistent knowledge over years, because obviously we're sabbatical officers, we're only in the role for a year, we can't know all the things that they know at one time. That's why they're paid to do that role. But they Phil Smith, the commercial director, Alan and I have met with, and he said that categorically it's not going to be reinstated as an event, and possibly just misinformation, and that's it. I don't feel like it's naive on Francis's part.
So personally, I feel like I do completely understand why Seven Legged had to be removed completely. It's to do with politics in terms of different universities, and I do completely understand why. It's because of how it got advertised, and how I'm going to say the tab article got completely viral in terms and got onto newspapers and all that. So I completely understand the university's point of having to remove it.
Did you find anything at fault with the original students, or did you feel that it was mainly due to
personally? I knew a few of the students on that picture who did take the photo, and I feel very badly on them because they 100% did not mean any offence. But yes, I do understand that it's all about media and all about how political the university is, and they had to take it away. Personally, I feel like Francis's point about reinstating it is basically impossible and unachievable. There is no way it can happen. Like Cam said, there is really no way it can happen. P.S. Carney, making sure you support their network, because the Seven Legged was actually one of their means to fund their actual rag raids of the last few years. Like, they use Seven Legged as their main funding source, but obviously now they can come up with new ways, just like Cam said, new ways or innovative new events to actually get money back.
And just one quick final thing before we move on to Joshua. A lot of the student body is very supportive for Carney and the work they do, but I have spoken to students who aren't supportive, and actually there are some pretty serious allegations thrown around of money going missing, of how students are treated on the rag raids, which were gotten rid of. Do you put any stock in those? What are mainly rumours, or do you feel that there's a point that needs to be addressed?
Personally, I truly love Carnival because of the fact of the actual amount of money they do give to charity. It is a phenomenal amount of money. I mean, I've been to their snowflake ball in my first year and in my second year, and the actual amount of money was unbelievable. But yes, I do understand those allegations or those rumours. Yes, those had to be addressed, and yes, that's why Rag Raid, well, technically was removed. But yeah, no, I do like Carney and the way and their idea of giving back to charity. But I do understand that there are those rumours that we need to try and address, which they have tried to address now.
Would you take any particular steps?
I mean, personally, as SU president, I would work closely with Carney to make sure that these allegations do not occur. I mean, I can't say for certain they won't occur. I can't promise you guys that, but I'll take steps into making sure that I would be supportive of Carney to try and assure to the students that these allegations won't happen.
All right, well, Joshua, we'll get your thoughts on Carney. Cameron, if you do have anything to add, it would have to be very quick because we will move on to closing statements after that.
Okay, so I've spoken to one of the committee members in Carney, and I understand the situations that's going on. There are lots of rumors that are spreading on the tab. That's why the events are not going to happen anytime sooner. But I think there can be more support from the student union support a carnival in sort of rebranding itself and also think about new ways to innovate new ideas to organize new charity events. I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to the committee members of the Carney. It really comes down to the student organization itself of whether they are able to organize the events in a way that stays away from the rumors as far as possible. It really have to come down to the jobs of the particular organizations. The SU can provide provide support, but it's also a mutual way. It's not only relying on the SU officers ourselves.
Right. Well, Cameron, if you do have anything to add, that's fine. Then we'll do closing statements, and please keep it brief. You know, in kind of a sentence or two, why should people vote for you?
My campaign video, the music to it, the soundtrack is Never Too Much by Luther Vandross. I don't feel like the Students' Union can never do too much for its students. It's your Students' Union. We need to make sure that people know that. We need to make sure that the officers present themselves to that. So don't say no, we can't. Say yes, we can.
So I built a manifesto that I could truly believe in. I did not choose to put manifesto points that were unachievable that previous SU officers or SU candidates have said. And I just want to assure you as students that I will be there for you and achieve these super aims for you. And also, hashtag students assemble.
My manifesto is centered around the idea of community support, approachability and engagement with the students. So I really want to engage with the students, approach the students in a more direct way, build a better conversations, and also have a better SU officers presence in students community. So if please vote for change, because you can't have change without Chan.